Coming to you from the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the inescapable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being drug users. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when drug users are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. You know, I was just thinking the other day, I haven't been to a Dead show in a long time. Well, of course, Jerry died years ago, and most of us, well, okay, most of you, have traded tie-dyes for suits and ties. Yet shows do still go on. And these days, festival-goers are doing a lot more than just weed, LSD, and mushrooms. Not that any of us ever did that stuff, officer. Now, on this edition of Free Culture Radio, we'll be discussing psychedelics, music festivals, and harm reduction.
So my name's Irene Alexander, and I am a supervisor for the Zendo Project through the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, MAPS. We attend different festivals and different events and take care of people who are having difficult psychedelic experiences.
Psychedelic harm reduction, unpack that.
Sure. So psychedelic harm reduction can look like a lot of things. The basic premise is really providing a safe space for people to have difficult emotional or positive emotional processes. So a lot of times when you take a psychedelic, you kind of get to this altered space that can be really open and really vulnerable, and a lot of emotions or past experiences or trauma can come up. And if you're not in a container that's safe and comfortable for those processes to actually unfold and to have someone there sitting with you and, you know, witnessing you and supporting you, then things can kind of go downhill. But in a situation like the Zendo, which is actually a physical space that moves from event to event, from festival to festival, people can actually have those experiences and be provided a safe container to not just move beyond a lot of difficult times, but a lot of times even benefit from them in a positive way that can end up changing their whole life.
Back in the day, with the Grateful Dead tours, there would be, occasionally you'd have people, our good friend Tim Pate was the rock doctor, and he'd handle the bad trips tent for people. So is it kind of like that, or what's the, what?
Yeah, it is kind of like that. So one of our four principles, it's funny, is actually difficult is not the same as bad. So we don't actually refer to them as bad trips. We talk about difficult experiences because we really do think that a lot of greatness can come from difficulty. A lot of really powerful learning can come from the difficult times. So it is definitely similar to that. When someone walks into the Zendo, they're assigned either a sitter or two sitters that kind of provide whatever type of support they'd want in that moment. Some people just sit there silently. Other people just need a little break from the hectic environment and need a snack or some water. And other people get really deep into processing stuff, although we do also put out a caveat that we're not doing therapy work there. We're just being supportive peers.
Without the aid of psychedelics in large crowds, I sometimes find myself being completely overwhelmed. So do you ever get people who are just like freaked out by large crowds of people and such, or is it mostly people on a thing or other?
No, that's a really good point. It's not always someone who's altered in some way from a particular substance. It could be people altered from just being around a lot of noise or a lot of stimulation, lights and people and conversations. So that's a really good point. A lot of people come in just to rest and just to ground themselves. And we have earplugs, we have eye masks, we have, lavender spray, sometimes lotion, just things that really help people take care of their body in the moment and take a little time to relax and center themselves and actually potentially avoid a difficult experience in the future.
Do you end up getting like, I don't go to some of these things, but I know people do. And sometimes, they might have the parent or someone coming along just to check out what this is about. Do you ever have like a parent come in just in that kind of, this is just too much for me, I need a place to hang out? Does that ever happen?
We have a lot of people who come in there are parents. It depends on the festival, I think. There are a lot of festivals that target more of a younger crowd, and festivals like Burning Man target an older crowd. Burning Man is a week-long event, so you have to be pretty prepared for it, and it's in the middle of the desert with radical self-reliance. So a lot of people there are older and are parents. And at other festivals, there are times when parents will come with their kids. A few that I can think of, a few experiences where a child did end up having a difficult experience. And by child, I mean like someone over 18, but their parent was there with them hanging out. And there have been a couple of times where parents have been really, really grateful for the existence of the Zendo at events.
Now, you don't do the pill testing. That would be a different thing. Is that do you ever work with some of those folks, or is that a thing happening at festivals these days?
Yeah, so a lot of times we will be set up right next to DanceSafe, and DanceSafe has a lot of information. So they're kind of the people that we send when people have really specific questions related to psychedelics. You know, like, I took this 5-2-MW-57, all of these new substances that are out there now that DanceSafe has a lot of information about, and honestly, Zendo people might not always be the best resource for. They're the drug geeks, the drug nerds, the very self-proclaimed experts on all of those specific details. So we send people over to the DanceSafe table or help connect them to resources that might be able to give them more information.
Because the novel psychoactive substances, it's a big thing these days. Is that, are you seeing, oh, for the older folks, it's all LSD or maybe that ecstasy stuff. But it's alphabet soup out there. Do you end up seeing a lot of the more traditional, I can't believe I just used that word, traditional psychedelics, or do you see a lot of the novel ones?
It's definitely a mix. As far as people who end up at the Zendo, a lot of it's a mix. So a lot of times it's like what you were referring to, people who just need a space to ground, whether or not they're using psychedelics. And other times it's people who have mixed psychedelics with alcohol. That's a really big one. And other times it's people who have just taken a little too much of one particular substance. And, you know, what has been happening over the past, I'd say, 2 or 3 years really is these new novel psychoactive substances. The most difficult thing is that sometimes they're sold as the more traditional ones. So you might think you're taking acid and suddenly you're tripping for 20 plus hours, at which point it starts to get pretty concerning, at which point you go to the Zendo. So we do end up working with a lot of people who have taken something that they end up realizing isn't the traditional thing that they wanted to take. So it's also dangerous in a harm reduction sense, which we're trying to spread more education about this, but certain substances can be sold for one thing and then be another, and they have different thresholds for overdose potential, right? With LSD, you can take a ton of it and come back maybe a little while later, but with something like 25 N-bomb, it's really psychoactively intense and has actually led to overdose.
25 N-bomb.
25 I-N-bomb. I think I've referred to, I'm not an expert on this. Again, this would be one of those DanceSafe questions, but it's referred to as either 25 I or just N-bomb. But that's one of the biggest ones that has been sometimes sold as LSD and then turns out to have a much longer effect. And if taken at the same dose as LSD, what would be a safe dose of LSD, a high dose, but a safe dose, can end up actually being fatal.
What is a typical day at a festival? What is a typical day at a festival like? Is there such a thing as a typical day, I guess?
Wow. In terms of working at the Zendo or just...
Well, yeah, at the Zendo.
I don't even know where to start with that one. there are cars and people dancing. Let's see, a typical day. So a lot of times it goes in waves. It depends on what shift you're working. So if you're working a morning shift, usually people at that point are kind of much more integrated, starting to get up, starting to move around, starting to try to remember where their tent was. Maybe once the sun starts coming up, you're helping a lot of people just do more orientation at that point. Reorientation, regrounding, kind of integration, maybe talking to people who've come out of difficult experiences and saying, so do you remember what last night was like, or do you want some process work, or do you want to come back later? You know, we're here, we're also available to help people kind of make sense of what happened the night before. And the morning usually starts out with, you know, a much slower pace, much more integrative grounding. And then as the day goes on, people end up kind of leaving throughout the day. Usually every once in a while, we'll have people trickle in one after another. And really, the big stuff starts at night, right? At festivals, the night culture is really, really big. That's when all the lights can come on, all the lasers are on, all of the art cars, you know, the music is blasting. So that's when it gets pretty hectic and chaotic. A lot of times we actually run out of space in the Zendo, so we're kind of on the fly trying to make more beds available. We have little beds set up on the floor, and oftentimes we're moving spaces around and just shifting people in, having someone sit in the corner, running around a pretty chaotic environment. But there are times where we run out of sitters, we run out of space, and we just make do. And in the middle of the night, I'd say up until about 5 a.m., it gets really, really hectic with a lot of people coming through at different festivals for different reasons.
I presume you have to coordinate with medical or EMS that are on site. Do you find that, I mean, without your services, I'm guessing those folks would be a lot busier. But how does that work?
Yeah, so that's actually personally a big part of the reason that I'm even interested in the psychedelic harm reduction work. With my full-time job, I work as an outreach counselor for homeless youth, and I see these two areas being very actually connected. So I think for me, when I look at psychedelic harm reduction work at festivals, I see it as an alternate model to the mental health system that we have. So it's beautiful to watch how different kind of components of the safety structure at festivals can work together. We have the Zendo, we have rangers who kind of help intervene before law enforcement intervenes. We have law enforcement that sometimes brings people to the Zendo. We have medical, we have Dance Safe. So at a lot of festivals, all of these organizations, security also, are working really closely together. They're on the radio together, they're communicating with each other, helping each other, supporting each other, and really finding a way to funnel appropriately. So if someone is brought to law enforcement and law enforcement ends up realizing that this is, oh, actually a psychedelic issue or a mental health issue or an emotional issue, they're then hopefully, in a lot of cases, hopefully in all cases at some point, brought to the Zendo and supported in that way instead of being thrown into the back of a car and driven to jail. So I think of that in terms of our society at large and how we should be looking for more models like this, where we can channel mental health support into the positive direction instead of putting people through more trauma of it having to interact with law enforcement while in vulnerable states.
You mentioned your day job, and I think that you do such great stuff. Talk to me about the your day job.
Sure. So I work as a program coordinator for At the Crossroads. It's a support organization for unstably housed young adults in San Francisco. We do outreach work, so we go out onto the streets and we hand out outreach supplies, just the basics, hygiene, candy, condoms. Sometimes we're referred to as the munchie fairies. and we really meet people where they're at, actually physically speaking and emotionally speaking, to just spend a lot of time being with people. A lot of our clients they're not the typical white traveling kid with a dog in a backpack type of stereotype. A lot of our clients are potentially gang affiliated or black unstably housed youth, so people who kind of slip through the cracks in a lot of other organizations. And that's what we try to do, is really fill in those gaps where the services are needed and where people may not identify as being homeless but really do struggle and have a lot of sense of pride for what they have accomplished in their life, and because of that sense of pride don't go access the organizations that they could be getting support from. So we end up going to them and support them through one-on-one counseling, through advocacy, housing support, just getting them food once a week, and being that person in their lives that's stable and consistent and has a healthy relationship with them.
I'm guessing there's not a lot of crossover in the clientele from the two different. Do you see a lot of parallels, though, in the work that you're doing between the two?
Yeah, there is definitely not a lot of crossover in the clientele, but I do see a lot of parallels. I see it as pretty much the same thing, honestly. I mean, it's really just being a good person, a caring, kind, you know, compassionate person to another human being who's struggling. Through my eyes, it really is the exact same thing. It's setting clear boundaries, clear expectations, being real with people, being yourself, authentically yourself with people. In both of those roles, I get to be myself and really bring myself to the table. And just being there for people in an open-ended sort of way and saying, hi, I'm here. What do you need? What do you want? That's my role here. It's not to push you into doing something. It's not to tell you shouldn't be doing that or you shouldn't be doing this. It's to approach it from a lens of how can I be of service.
The Zendo, how do people find out more about that work and keep up with the stuff that you're doing? How do people support you?
Yeah, so people can go online to www.zendoproject.org and find out more information that way. You can sign up for a newsletter, which will notify you of upcoming events, too, if you're trying to volunteer. And you can donate as well.
Do you do training for, it's tough to train compassion, but you get a compassionate person who wants to help. You train and show them how to do this stuff.
Yeah, we definitely have really, really long, multiple-hour trainings for every event that we do to make sure that all of the volunteers are very well prepared for that event. On all of our shifts, we also have shift leads and supervisors overseeing each one of the shifts to make sure that there's appropriate support on all of them. And we do have a couple of our trainings up online, which you can also find through zendoproject.org.
So any closing thoughts for the listeners?
I say just approach life from a curious lens and, you know, always ask how you can be of service instead of trying to figure out how to stop someone from being who they are. I guess that's kind of a big philosophical way to end it. But yeah, I think that's what the Zendo Project is all about, is really bringing that compassion into the day to day. I would love to see more integration of that to see it move from beyond just the festival scene into the way that we interact with people outside of festivals as well.
Marina, thank you so much. All the work you're doing. Wow.
You are listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. We've been speaking with Irina Alexander. More information about psychedelic harm reduction and the Zendo Project is available on the web at zendoproject.org. The Zendo Project is part of another organization, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, MAPS for short. MAPS was founded by my friend Rick Doblin back in 1986. It's a 501c3 nonprofit research and educational organization that develops medical, legal, and cultural contexts for people to benefit from the careful uses of psychedelics and marijuana. MAPS has been working on psychedelic harm reduction for many years. Here's the thing they produced in 2009.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ingrid Pacey. I'm a psychiatrist, and I've devoted myself to understanding the healing potential of various states of consciousness. This video will demonstrate four basic principles that you can use to assist someone undergoing a difficult psychedelic experience. These principles are similar to those used by therapists in psychedelic psychotherapy research settings. In the upcoming scene, we will watch a young man who is having a difficult experience while under the influence of a psychedelic drug and demonstrate some general principles on when and how emotional support could best be given.
Well, look at Jason over there. He's looking a little out of sorts.
Do you have any idea what's up with him right now?
Well, Donald told me that they each took about two hits of acid a couple of hours ago, but Donald went for a walk with some friends, and Jason's just here by himself.
What Jason's experiencing is not just limited to what he is seeing and hearing. It is reaching the deepest levels of his mind. Things usually taken for granted, like time, self-identity, and any other aspect of reality, can be as unusual as what he is seeing and hearing. Even though most psychedelic difficulties are psychological, not physical, if someone has taken a psychedelic drug and is having a difficult experience, a helper should first assess, is the person concerned about his or her physical safety? If there is any doubt about physical safety, a helper should call 911. If not, try to find out some basic information. What drug does the person think he or she took? How much of the drug does the person recall taking? How long ago does the person recall taking the drug? Is the person on any other medications or drugs, including alcohol? For further background information about drugs and drug combinations, the website www.arrowwood.org has potentially useful information.
How are you feeling?
I feel like I'm going insane right now, a little bit. I feel like I need to get out of here. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to talk right now.
It's fine. Do you feel physically okay?
Yeah. Physically, I feel fine. But, like, the rest of me feels like it's being sucked into some sort of vortex or something.
Are you tripping right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure am. I'm tripping my face off.
Someone with the opportunity to help someone having a difficult psychedelic experience should keep a few basic principles in mind. If the person is not reporting physical danger, the first thing to do is to create a safe space. A safe space can be created anywhere, but it is best to find a place that is quiet, warm, and comfortable. A good phrase to remember is sitting, not guiding. Sit with the person, but do not lead the person away from his or her experience. Let your presence communicate safety and caring, and allow the content of the person's experience to guide any questions you ask or comments you make. If the person is in distress, you may be able to help him or her to explore whatever experiences or issues are being encountered. Staying calm will make it easier to create a trusting environment. This means that you can be helpful just by sitting with someone with a supportive and friendly presence.
What's happening when you close your eyes?
Oh, like, I'm seeing all these strange shapes and colors swirling into a vortex, but it's not so much like I'm seeing it. It's like I'm a part of it. I can't control it. I can't relax. I don't know how. I can't control it. I can't control it, and I'm getting sucked in.
Just go with it. We're in a safe place now.
Talk through, don't talk down. That is, help the person talk through what's happening, rather than trying to find some magic words to bring the person down from the experience. Many experts believe that it is best to give the person the space to work through his or her problems, rather than the common practice of trying to distract the person from them. Try to help the person connect with what he or she is feeling, and facilitate them in their own journey by promoting trust and security.
Since you're going to be tripping for a few more hours, maybe you could take this opportunity to, like, explore what's happening to you. Don't fight your experience. Just trust that it's happening for an important reason.
difficult is not necessarily bad. It is important to allow someone on psychedelics to explore all emotions, not just happy or fun ones. Experiences with longer-lasting negative consequences are more likely to occur when a person resists confronting his or her difficult emotions and tries to escape from them.
Wow. That was incredible. That was incredible. Painful, but with moments of peace and clarity. I definitely feel a lot less crazy when I'm not trying so hard to control everything.
In this video, we hope to have demonstrated some general principles about how to help a friend who is having a difficult psychedelic experience. The effects of psychedelics vary tremendously and are extremely difficult to categorize. Psychedelics can affect different people in different places and at different times with incredible variation. Yet the effects of psychedelics are not completely arbitrary either. The effects depend on the drug, the mindset of the person taking the drug, and the setting in which the drug is taken. Thanks for your attention. I hope this short video has raised issues that you can discuss further with your family and friends.
That was from the MAPS video, How to Work with Difficult Psychedelic Experiences, available through the MAPS YouTube channel. All of their videos are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License and reuse is allowed. If you're interested in learning more about psychedelics, then definitely, definitely check out their channel. And that's it for this edition of Free Culture Radio. My thanks to our guest, Irina Alexander with the Zendo Project, and thanks also to the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies for making so much of their material available to the public. Many thanks to our engineers, and my thanks especially to you, dear listener, for your support. You make it all worth it. Free Culture Radio has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/KBOOFreeCultureRadio. Please give it a like. You can find links there to past shows, announcements about upcoming programs and events, and other stuff, like news items that may be of interest. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. We'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Thanks again for listening. I'm Doug McVeigh. Good night.